person, Krista. Brother, can you make me the co-host so that I can share the screen if you don't mind?
Yes, Brother Rohan.
Thank you.
Hello, Brother Rohan.
I is made it, brother. Thank you. A very good morning to you all, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. So we thank our Heavenly Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving yet another day to worship Him in truth and in spirit. So we thank our Heavenly Father for His abundance of mercy and grace that He has still counted us among the living. And in spite of all these commotions in this world, He has given yet another day to prove our faithfulness to Him. So we all know very well, dear brethren, that we are living in the very last days. The time is very short. Seeing the current situations in the world where a lot of war are happening concerning Israel, a lot of prophecies are being fulfilled in front of our eyes, it really awakens us to speed our you see, the consecration and make your calling election sure. So at this moment, you see, we all know that all the consecrated, you see, don't make up to be of the little flock. So there is a possibility that many of them may fall from winning the crown. So whoever consecrates, if a they don't make to the little flock. So where do they fall? If you see the brethren, they fall or they become the part of the great multitude. So today we're going to see what is the actual difference you see between the great multitude and the little flock. What actually differentiates between them and what actually separates the great multitude from the little flock? For this one, we'll be taking examples from the Bible. You see, some of the incidents and narrations that are mentioned in the Bible and see what good lesson we can learn from them. And the first example, what we're taking is from Esau and Jacob. Dear brethren, we know very well that Esau and Jacob were actually twins. They were the children of the same father and the same mother. You see, Esau was a hunter. You see, he was a wild man. But Jacob was a simple man and always in the home. So we know very well, you see, those who stay in the home, they learn a lot of cooking. So Jacob was a good, you see, a cook and used to prepare good and delicious food. But Esau was a hunter. He used to hunt and bring animals. So once what happened was that Esau had been for hunting and when he returned, he was very hungry and he wanted food immediately. You know, dear brother, at that time, Jacob was very smart and he was preparing good food. So when Esau requested for food, Jacob told, "No, I can only give you this meal if you promise to sell the birthright to me." Okay, what is this birthright? You see, dear brother, birthright is actually double portion of the father's inheritance or the father's property. In those days, the elder son, you see, the eldest son used to be given a double portion of the father's property. Why they used to give? Because it was the duty and responsibility of the eldest son to take care of the parents when they are old. So it was entirely to Esau. But if you see the brethren, Esau was very careless in those things. You see, Esau did not care, or he did not have much concern about the birthright. He was so careless that he was ready to sell that one also. That means he was not much interested in his parents either. So when Jacob asked him to sell the birthright, immediately Esau sold it. He said, "What is the use of me having the birthright when it doesn't quench my hunger?" You see, let us read these verses from Genesis 25th chapter, verses 30 to 32. Can somebody read, any of the brethren?
Yes, sir. I'll read on the screen, brother.
We can read from the screen, sister.
Okay. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same reed for dates, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?"
Very good. So he said, "What profit shall this birthright do to me?" So immediately, you see, yes, I was sold it, and he wanted to quench his hunger, so he was satisfied. But later on, dear brethren, when he was supposed to receive the blessings from his father Isaac, Jacob had already got the blessings. So Esau, realizing his mistake, you see, he is full of tears and weeps and asks for the blessings, but it was too late. So Esau lost the wonderful privilege, you see, of getting the birthright. So it passed on to Jacob. But if you see, Jacob was ready to take the risk for the sake of the birthright. He was ready to become a pauper, you see, and to even leave the house and travel and live in a very long distance, a very strange place, you see, just for the sake of the birthright. Dear brethren, this is one of the, you see, major, you see, differences that actually separate the little flock and the great multitude. Therefore, Apostle Paul speaks about Esau and tells us to be very cautious. Let us read Hebrews 12 chapter verse 16 and 17.
Yes, Hebrews 12, 16 and 17. Lest there be any fornicators or roving passion as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For he know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears.
You see, though he sought it carefully with tears, you see, he found no place for repentance. That means, dear brethren, there was a time for Esau to be repented. But when the time was over, even God not accept his repentance. Therefore, dear brethren, it is a warning for us to be very careful. Why? Because you see, dear brethren, God has promised a double portion for us. God has promised the birthright to us. You see, we are the firstborns. You see, why we are the firstborns? If you see, God's fruits of the Holy Spirit, God's fruitage of the Holy Spirit, you see, in the first class of people to be resurrected from the dead is the little flock. After Jesus has had, it is his body members who are going to be resurrected as a first, you see, fruits of the resurrection. So, as firstborn sons, you see, God's double portion belongs to us. What is this double portion? You see, we all know that all the dead are going to come back in the resurrection in the 1,000 years. You see, and they are going to receive eternal life. You see, we all know that one very well. But what is that which God has promised to the church? God has promised not just eternal life to the church, but it is eternal life on the divine nature. You see, what is the divine nature? What is the speciality of the divine nature, dear brethren? You see, divine nature, you see, means a nature which God Himself is having. You see, where there is no death, you see, no possibility of death also. There's life within ourselves. So this is the main portion which God has reserved for the church. So regarding attaining of the heavenly salvation and be partaking of the divine nature, the little flock, you see, are not careless. You see, but the great multitude are so careless that sometimes, you see, they jump into the world just for the desire of some worldly things. You see, and they forsake, you see, and they forgo the crown, the birthright. So once if you sell the birthright, once we forgo the birthright, dear brethren, at no point of time, you see, that we can get it back. It's very difficult. You see, yes, even he tried to sort it out, you see, by tears. Did God give him a chance? No, dear brethren, he found no, you see, place for repentance, even though he sorted by tears. So, dear brethren, you see, we should be very careful. Therefore, Apostle Paul, in Hebrews 12, chapter 15, verse, he warns us, you see, that we should be diligent. Let us read that, Hebrews 12, 15, sister.
Yes, Hebrews 12, 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
Very good, sir. See, lest any man fall from the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring trouble you. That means, dear brethren, Satan tries to disturb us, you see, to create some unnecessary bitterness among the brethren, so that we may, you see, leave the truth, you see, and that brings a lot of disturbance to our mind, you see, and draw away from the truth. So regarding this one, dear brethren, we should be very cautious. During such times, we should not, you see, think as Esau thought, but we should be ready, like Jacob, to leave some of our preferences. What did Jesus say? If any man wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, carry the cross and follow me. So we should be ready to let go some things of our life. Be ready to become a pauper. When we leave something, when we forsake something for the Lord's sake, Lord is never unrighteous to just forget us. He will definitely bless us in either way. So this is the first difference. Okay. Now, the second example is about the king and the queen. Okay, now let us read about this one in Psalms 45, 9. Psalms 45th chapter, verse 9, sister.
Yes, Psalms 45, verse 9. King's daughters who are among the honorable women upon the right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir.
Very good. So, here it says, king's daughter were among the honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Now, who is this king and who is this queen? You see, this king is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And who is this queen? It is, you see, the king's bride, the little flock, you see, the faithful church. Now, how is the queen? You see, it says, the queen is honorable among all the women. She is very precious. You see, the faithful church is very precious in the sight of God. And she is completely, you see, decked with gold of Ophir, and she's standing at the right hand of the king. That means she is standing at the chief favor, an important position next to Jesus Christ. What did Jesus promise to the church? Huh? If somebody overcomes, even as he overcomes, Revelation 3:21, he will grant her to sit along with him on the same throne. You see, that's the promise that is given to the church. Therefore, we see that the queen is at the right hand, you see, with gold of Ophir. Gold means what in the Bible? It's a divine nature. You see, the nature which God himself is having. You see, so she is completely covered in that one. Okay. Now, this king, if he has to like or please or be pleased with a bride, what should the queen do? How should the bride behave? What are the characters that king likes in the bride? Read Psalms 45, 10 and 11, sister. Huh?
Yes, Psalm 45:10, verse 10. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear, forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him.
Hmm.
Yes.
She says, O daughter, hearken, O daughter, and consider. Incline thine ear. That means what? It's a very serious matter. Don't take it lightly, because divine nature is not offered to any of the faithful, even ancient worthies also. But if God has given us this privilege, we should not be very slack concerning his promise. You see, and what is advice that the king gives? You see, forget thine own house, forget thy people, forget thy father's house. Then only the king will desire thy beauty, it seems. Now, what is this own people and father's house? Who is our father? Dear brethren, who is our father? Who is our old father? Anybody? Who was our old father before we came to the truth? Huh? You see, we are all children of whom? We are all children of Adam. You see, so he was our father, isn't it? We are all descendants of Adam, no? So what does God advise? To forget your father's house. That means, this earth was the father Adam's house. When we need to forget this world, once we consecrate, we can never expect to come back to this earthly salvation in any way, dear brethren. So, consecration is one way. You can never return to this earthly salvation. You got only three opportunities. One, to be of the little flock. If you fall, then you fall into the great multitude. If you still fall further, we'll be going to second death. Therefore, you see, we need to forget our father's house. You see, what did the Apostle Paul tell to the Colossians? Seek things which are above. Set your affections on the things of above. You see, and here the king also tells to forget our own people. Who are the own people? You see, Adam is the father, means Adam's children, the worldly people, are our own people. We need to forget them. You see, certain relations, certain friends, you see, whom we had touched before we came to the truth, you see, we need to cut them off. We need to forego them. You see, if they are diverting us away from the truth, then we need to cut it off. You see, what did Jesus say? If your hand sins, better cut off the hand than entering the kingdom of God with both hands. So then entering, going to Gehenna with both hands, it is better that you go with one hand to the kingdom of God. Therefore, dear brethren, you see, we need to take our consecration very seriously. Okay, now how is the queen decorated with gold? Let us read Psalms 45:13.
7:45. The king's daughter is all glorious within her clothing. He is of wrought gold.
Very good. See, the king's daughter is completely covered with gold, but how is she beautiful? She is glorious within. She is not outwardly beautiful, not only that one. The main thing is that she has got that inward beauty. Dear brethren, this is the character which God and Christ is looking in us. He is not seeing our outward beauty. You see how smart we are. You see how rich we are. All those things God doesn't see, dear brethren. He is seeing our inward character. How much of Christ likeness is there in our heart? You see, that is what you see Christ is seeing in us. And he says, her clothing is of full pure gold. You see, that means how is her clothing being decorated? You see, it is decorated with pure gold, it seems. How did she do this one? Read Psalms 45:14. Read verse 14, sister.
Yes, Psalm 45:14. 45:14. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions, will follow her, shall be brought unto thee.
Very good. You see? See, she is decorated a robe with a raiment of needlework. So what is needlework? You know the embroidery work they do for the robe. It's not machine made. You need to make it with a hand. You see? So, how is the embroidery made? The sharp needle is taken, you see, and the cloth is poked up and down, up and down, up and down. You see, several times the cloth has to be poked. Then only a beautiful grand embroidery comes. Dear then, God has given us the robe of righteousness through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, on this robe of righteousness, we need to, you see, develop and decorate it with a divine character. Gold-like, beautiful character, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now, can anybody tell me what are the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Anybody? Galatians 5:22.
Joy, peace, and love. Long-suffering.
Very good. 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, faith, against which there is no law. You see, these characters has to be developed. It's not so easy to develop, dear brethren. Nothing magic comes and nothing magic works. It is only of hard work. You see, a lot of patience and perseverance that these characters are developed in the little flock. But the great multitude are lacking this, you see, decoration. You see, they're very careless. You see, they're not interested in developing, you see, these beautiful characters in them. You see, therefore, they become the part of the virgins, the companion of the queen. Now, who is the companion? They don't become the part of the bride, but they are the, you see, bride's companion. So this is the great multitude, dear brethren. Therefore, you see, they shall also be brought into the presence of the king, not to be the queen, but, you see, dear brethren, as a companion. They lose the crown, you see, they lose the opportunity to become the bride of Jesus. So, the second thing we learn from this one is that, you see, the character development is very important. And the first part we learned is that in many trials, you see, we should never let go our crown. We should be very, you see, cautious of losing our crown. So this is the second one. Now let us come to the third one. The third example is given to us in the foolish and the wise virgin, the parable of the foolish and the wise virgin. We all know very well, you see, Jesus mentions about this parable in Matthew 25th chapter, verses 1 to 4. Okay, can anybody read? Matthew 25th chapter verses 1 to 4.
Then they shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto the virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps.
Very good, sir. You see, the kingdom of heaven, that means the heavenly part of the, you see, salvation, that means the heavenly part of the kingdom is likened to 10 virgins, it seems. You see? So, among them, you see, there are 5 wise and 5 foolish. Everybody went to meet the bridegroom. But the foolish, they did not take the oil, you see, in the lamp. But what about the wise? You see, dear brethren, the wise had the oil not only in the lamp, but also in their vessels. They additionally took some oil in the vessels, it seems. Okay. Now, next, what happened? Verse 5 and verse 6, sister, huh?
Matthew 25:5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Matthew 25:6. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him."
See, what happened was that, you see, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So their purpose of, you see, going to meet the bridegroom was to get married. But what happened was that the bridegroom tarried, it seems. He was supposed to come but did not come. What happened? You see, they all slept, it seems. But in the midnight, there was a cry, it seems. Cry what? Behold the bridegroom. You see, why midnight? We studied this one in the second coming class, that our Lord Jesus returned in the midnight of 6,000 years. You see, when the 6,000 years ended and the dawning of the 1,000 years, Jesus returned. And there was a loud cry saying, "Behold the bridegroom." You see, we have heard that cry, that we are passed on from the stage of Parousia, we are living in the stage of Epiphania. You see, dear brethren, behold the bridegroom. So then what happened? All the virgins, you see, they woke up and began to trim the lamps. Read verse 7, sister.
Matthew 25:7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps.
All the virgins rose and began to trim the lamps. But what happened was that the foolish did not have sufficient of oil, but there was sufficient of oil for the wise virgins. You see, so their lamps began to get off. Read verse 8, sister.
Matthew 25, this 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your all oil, for our lamps are going out."
For our lamps are going out. Please give us a little bit of oil. You see, is it possible to give the oil? The wise tells, if we give our oil to you, we wouldn't be having sufficient. So don't waste time. Please immediately go to the market and buy the oil for yourself from the person who is selling it. Read verse 9.
Matthew chapter 25, page 9. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that shall and buy for yourself."
Very good. You see, so then what happened was that, you see, the foolish virgins went to the market to buy the oil. But by the time, you see, they came, the door was shut. You see, verse 10. So, dear brethren, what is the meaning of all these things? What does all this represent? We know, we just now studied, you see, the queen. You see, the queen should be a virgin, isn't it? Anybody, you see, who is marrying a girl should be virgin. So similarly, Christ is engaged to, is bride. And how is the bride? The bride is a virgin. You see, they both are engaged. The marriage will happen when? It will happen only at the return of our Lord, of our Master. So, until such time, you see, the virgin church has to wait for the Master. See, 2 Corinthians 11 2.
2 Corinthians 11 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one man, husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
You see? See, I have exposed you, engaged you to one man, the Christ, it seems. So, the church and the Christ and Christ are engaged. Okay. Now, what is the meaning of the lamp? We all know very well, Psalms 119:105. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. See, light unto my path. So, it is the word of God. So inside the lamp, there was oil. You see, now what is the meaning of oil? Can anybody tell me what is the meaning of oil? In olden days, they used to use the oil to anoint the priest. So what does it represent?
Holy Spirit.
Very good. It represents the Holy Spirit. Psalm 733. You see, 1 to 3. So this oil was in the lamp, isn't it? Does God's words has the Holy Spirit? Yes. God's words is filled with, you see, God's Spirit. There is the Holy Spirit inside the Bible. But that is not sufficient. Because that Holy Spirit, the Spirit of consecration, the fruits of the Spirit, where it should be? It should not only be in the Bible, it should also be in the vessel. Who is the vessel? We are all earthen vessel. Isn't it, dear brethren? See, God has given us the, you see, a portion of the Holy Spirit inside this earthen vessel. So we need to maintain that one. We need to maintain that level of the Holy Spirit, dear brethren. You see, this is what the lack the great multitude. You see, they don't have the spirit of consecration. They don't have the zeal, energy, you see, for the Lord. They don't develop that character likeness of Christ in them. They are careless in that one. You see, they just only preach the word of God. But the wise virgins, not only, you see, they are virgins. They are not only, you see, very careful in filling their lamps with the oil. They are very cautious to carry the oil in the vessels. That is very, very important. It is not sufficient that we just be virgins. You see, just because we are very beautiful in character, okay, God will accept us. No, 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 no. Along with that one, a very important thing that we should be wise also. You see, that means God is not going to marry his son for a foolish virgin. So we should be wise enough to be filled with the consecration, the spirit of consecration. So the great multitude liked this one. So what was the reply that was given? Please go to the market and buy it from the person who sells it. That means there is a market. That means there is a person who is going to sell it. Now, who is going to sell it? Of course, the one who is having the store off, the one who is the owner of the oil, is the one who sells it. Now, where is this owner? Who is the owner of the Holy Spirit? Who actually owns the Holy Spirit? Tell me.
Almighty God.
Very good, sister. It is our Almighty God. So, the seller is God. You see, now where does he sell it? What do you mean by sell it? Oh, brother, God sells. How much money I should give? Tell me. I will also pay a lot of money and get more of Holy Spirit. Dear brethren, God doesn't take money. You see, he sells the Holy Spirit. Means what? We need to be spent. We need to buy it. That means we need to, you see, make some expenses. You see, we need to sacrifice. It should cost us something. We need to pay for it. It is not so easy. That means, dear brethren, we need to completely lay down ourselves as a living sacrifice faithfully. You see, in olden days, there was a lot of sacrifice. No? We need to sacrifice ourselves as complete burnt offering, the whole burnt offering completely. As we pay, so much we get the Holy Spirit. If we completely give ourselves to the Lord, what will God do? God will completely give, you see, dear brethren, His Spirit to us. Therefore, dear brethren, we need to be very careful in giving ourselves to the Lord. And where does God sell it? He sells in the market. What is the market? That is the world. If you go into the world carrying this truth, a lot of experiences, persecutions will come, trials will come. In those trials only, you will develop the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Not just completely sitting silently, making ourselves concentration in a locked room. No. We need to be in the world. Face trials, dear brethren. In that only, what will develop? Will develop the fruits of the Holy Spirit, spirit of consecration. See, the great multitude, when they had the opportunity, you see, they lacked to develop these things. You see, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But once, when they realize their, you see, mistake, and they go back to the world, prepare it and come back. They come back, you see, they're preparing it. But that time, the door would be closed. We would have lost the opportunity. So, dear brethren, we are almost at the threshold. We should be very cautious and try to make and calling relationship sure as early as possible. And whenever the Lord has given the opportunity to develop those characters. Okay. Now, the last example, what you're going to study is about Gideon. You see, we all know Gideon and his band. You see, the Midianites came and attacked the people of Israel. You see, and 120,000 people came to attack Israel. You see, Judges 8, chapter 10th verse. At that time, God selects, you see, Gideon and tells him to go and fight the Midianites. So read Judges 8, 10. Judges 8, chapter 10th verse.
Judges 7, verse 1. The Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of the Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, but the hill were of Moreh in the valley.
Judges chapter 8, 10.
Judges 8, chapter 8, verse 10.
Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Kako, and their host with them, about 15,000 men, and that were left of all the host of the children of the east. For there fell 120,000 men that drew sword.
120,000 Midianites had come to attack Israel. Then God tells, tell the people of Israel, whoever wants to come for the war, let them come. So immediately Gideon gives an announcement. You see, that everybody who is willing to come for the war, they can come. So as soon as Gideon makes an announcement, dear brethren, 32,000 people came. But God tells, no, Gideon, this 32,000 people are more. Please tell, whoever is fearful, you see, whoever has fear and is frightened to fight the war, they can please return home. So as soon as Gideon makes this announcement, 22,000 go back. Read Judges 7, chapter verse 3.
Now, therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there return of the people 22,000, and there remain 10,000.
Very good, sir. So what happened was that only 10,000 remained. And God tells who, even if this 10,000 is too much, you see. So bring them to the water, you see, where I will test them. So Gideon brought all the 10,000 people to the water. And you see, there God began to separate these two people. So one group of people, they completely put their mouth directly to the water and you see, and drank the water. But other group of people, you see, they took the water in their hands and they drank, you see. So those who took water in the hand and who drank it, they were only 300 people, dear brethren. So those 300 people were selected and others were rejected. Read Numbers, Judges 7, chapter verse 6.
And the number of them that left, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water.
You see, only 300 people, only these 300 people were selected and all the other people rejected. Verse 8. Okay. Now what happened was that among these 300 people, God told, you see, go and fight, you see, the Midianites. How did they fight? Did God tell them to take swords, spears, you see, and go and fight? No. They were just told to take two things. One is a trumpet and blow the trumpet. And second, you see, take a lamp, you see, that is hidden in a, you see, a pitcher, you see. They were supposed to break the pitchers and let the light shine and blow the trumpets. Only this thing was supposed to be done by the 300 people. Read verse 20. Verse 20, sister. Huh?
And the three companies blew the trumpets and break the picture and held the lamps in the left hand and the trumpets in the right hand to blow with all, and they cried a sword of the Lord and of Gideon.
You see, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. See, they did this thing, and by the time they went near the battlefield, you see, all their enemies were already dead. You see, they just went down, took the loot, and returned back. Dear brethren, so what is the lesson that we have in this one? Dear brethren, we also have an enemy, you see, who is coming to attack us. We have a warfare. Now, what is this warfare? You see, we have studied in Ephesians 6:12 that our warfare is not with flesh and blood. Our warfare is with, you see, spiritual darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12. Now, for that one, what we should do? What did Jesus say? If any man wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, carry the cross and follow me. So we need to follow the master. Now, you see, to follow the master, how many people come? You see, when the call was given, how many people came? 32,000 people came. But when the details of war was announced, 32,000 went back. Only 10,000 remained, dear brethren. So what does it mean? Today, many are called, you see, but few are chosen. Matthew 24:14. Is it 22:14? Isn't it? So, the many people who return back are good believers. They're all very good believers. They just want to believe in Jesus. They don't want to follow the footsteps of Jesus. So, once the terms and conditions of consecration are told to them, they fear. They turn back to the world. They say, oh, don't want all these things. Risk, why fight and all? Let us live a comfortable life. But the 10,000 remained, those are the consecrated ones. But just if we consecrate, is it sufficient? No. They are told to be brought to the water. Now, what is the meaning of water in the Bible? Habakkuk 2:14. Please read Habakkuk 2:14. Anybody?
Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Very good. You see, the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the whole world as the waters covers the sea. So God's words is water. So these people are brought to the water to see how they drink the water. Some people, they put their mouth directly to the water and just drank it. You see, but some people took it in hand clearly. You see, they saw it and drank it, giving glory to God. So what does it mean? Dear brethren, just listening to the truth to just satisfy our passions is not sufficient. Just for satisfaction's sake, if you listen to the truth, you see, hearing in this year, living in this year is of no use at all, dear brethren. We can't win the crown. That truth has to enter us. We should be very clear. Filter the truth. What is to be listened? What is to be assimilated? What has to be listened? You see, what not has to be listened? You see, we should be very cautious listening to the false doctrines. This is what God wants to people of Israel. They were, you see, they had good zeal. Israel people had a lot of zeal, but it was not as per the knowledge. So proper understanding of the knowledge is very important. Therefore, Apostle Paul tells there were some people who were just listening to the truth, but never came to the knowledge of truth, it seems. See, 2 Timothy 3:7. Read 2 Timothy 3:7.
Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
See, ever learning means always I keep on listening. Any class you tell me, I'll come and sit. You see, but simply coming and sitting, what is the use? No concentration on the truth. You see, never coming to the knowledge of the truth, it seems. So these people were rejected. 9,700 were rejected. So it is not just sufficient if we just listen to the truth. In what spirit, you see, we are listening to the truth? With what condition of our mind are we sitting to listen to the truth? That is very, very important. What does the Bible say? In Deuteronomy 6 chapter, you see, whenever you sit, whenever you stand, as you go out, as you come in, you see, you should meditate upon the God's words. That is the same thing you need to teach to your children. You see, whenever you sit and stand, go out, in and out and come, teach your children to, you see, meditate the word of God. You see, behave as per the God's words, dear brethren. Therefore, you see, this class of people are rejected. So with the 300, what did God tell? Take only two things. Blow a trumpet. You see, the lamp which is hidden in the, you see, the pitcher, break it. So what is that pitcher inside which there is a lamp? Earthen vessel. 2 Corinthians 4:7. We are the earthen vessel. God has kept the spirit within this earthen vessel. This is the lamp, dear brethren. We should let our light shine before men so they may see our good characters and glorify God. You see, our character, you see, should glorify God. How do we glorify God? We should break our earthen vessel, break all our human nature, all our ego, selfishness. You see, all our bad characters of the old man has to be destroyed. Then only the new creature will shine as a light. You see, just letting the light shine, is sufficient? No, dear brethren. We should blow the trumpet also. What is this trumpet? This is the preaching the word of God, witnessing the truth. Dear brethren, so many people, you know, they just listen to the truth. They don't even witness. They don't go and share the truth to anybody. Lot of people are there in this world, dear brethren, who are waiting for love. Imagine if somebody would have not witnessed the truth to you, would you have come to the truth? No. The great multitude lack this character. They tell, oh, why should we go and tell anyone? It's God's work. God will do. God will bring them. No problem. Why should I go and tell? Dear brethren, we should tell. You see, it's a great privilege to be the tools of our master. If God wants us to use, it is really a great honor. which is subject to him. Therefore, Apostle Paul tells, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:16. Dear brethren, you see, we should always be ready to give answer for the hope that is within us. Think about the 1,000 years. Think about the resurrection of the dead. Do the worldly people know this one? No, they don't know. You see, just see the comfort, how they will receive this truth. You see, dear brethren, we should witness. But this is one of the differentiation, dear brethren, not being selfish. Therefore, dear brethren, so what you have studied is the four examples from the Bible, Esau and Jacob. You see, the king and the queen, the wise virgins and the foolish virgins, and last, Gideon and his band. So among this, you see, we have learned the good lessons. First of all, we should not be careless in our consecration, you see, and we should be developing, you see, Christ-likeness under trials. And we should not only be, you see, virgins, we should also be wise virgins. And not only that one, you see, we should also be, you see, smart enough to receive the truth and assimilate it and walk as per the truth. Proclaim the truth. So let our light shine. That may bring glory to God. Dear brethren, so thank you for this opportunity. We thank.